Greetings and welcome to a Brave Space podcast with Dr. Meeks. I'm your host, Chelsea Glasgow. The Absalom Jones Center, Episcopal Center for Racial Healing, has a high regard for cultural distinctiveness within our beloved community. In our last episode, we actually talked about the center's move to be more inclusive. And it's our love for this type of beloved and inclusive community that will fuel today's conversation on the difference between multiculturalism and inclusivity. Dr. Meeks, please help us to break this topic wide open. What's the difference?
Well, I think one of the things that has happened in our culture is that we've tried to make cultural differences more palatable by erasing them rather than celebrating them and paying attention to them. So, you bring in people of different groups, different ethnic groups, and you kind of, everybody ends up trying to act like the majority culture. Everybody's taking on characteristics of being white and trying to see how white can we be. And then we say, oh, well, we're this multicultural place. You know, we've got all these different groups here, but everybody's really trying to be a white person. You know, we have Spanish speakers in the room, but there's no Spanish being spoken. We have we have worship services with people that have diverse cultural backgrounds, but their ways of worship are never included in the worship experience. But we're multicultural, you know, because we got these different folks sitting in the room. I think that inclusivity means that you are willing to say, how would you, if you were an Indigenous person and you were doing a Sunday morning service, how would it be different from what we do in the majority culture church, you know, or even in the Black church or in the Latinx church? How would it be different? Then invite that group of people to do the worship the way they would do it. And we embrace that and celebrate that. So then we become, I believe, we get ourselves on the path of being more inclusive of people rather than inviting folks to come and sit in the room and let all of us try to be white people, which is what we've been doing. You know, we have been doing this for a long time. I mean, we in the African-American community know this drill so well. That if you got to speak right, act right, and we say it all the time, you got to be three times better than the average person in order to be acceptable. And then we have put that burden on other groups as well. So what the center is aiming for is to create spaces where the Native folks, Latinx folks, Asian people, African American, and white people can all be who they really are. Authentically who you really are. And then we come together in that authenticness and celebrate each other without trying to make each other into being exactly like one another.
Yeah, I agree. And, you know, we do have a tendency to just try to merge, right? To just try to be automatically unified. It's similar to our tendency to automatically be reconciled when we haven't gone through repentance or healing, right? So definitely, when we talk about the work of inclusivity, we're talking about embracing being at times uncomfortable. Right. And I'm sure, you know, a lot of churches perhaps go through that when they intend to be inclusive, but instead combine, blend, dilute people's cultures. What exactly is the threat when churches or other entities or even individuals do that? What happens to the people on the other side of the fence when they are not being included in the way that, you know, that they should be?
You know, I think it's incredibly injurious to people. And I think we've seen that, exemplified in African-American culture and African-American people. And we've seen it highly exemplified with Native people as well. Of course, we put them all on reservations so we don't have to really see them. And then we talk about how much alcoholism they have on their reservation or suicide or domestic violence and all those things as if there's some kind of strange breed of humanity, when in fact, you know, Chelsea, it's the result of being marginalized, oppressed, and having had genocide practiced against you. It's a response to all of that negativity that has helped to create that situation among our Native people. And in the African-American community, we have a lot of internalized oppression that's exemplified. And so those are the results of not being accepted just as you are. When people don't, you know yourself personally, when you're someplace and somebody wants you to be somebody you're not, it's really hard. And most of the time, when people in relationships are trying to make you be somebody that you're not, eventually that relationship is going to end because you can only be who you are. And if you spend too much time pretending to be something you're not, it's very deadly. And it's deadly to an individual and it's deadly to a people. And I think that one of the parts of the healing journey is to stand up and proclaim, this is who I am. And you have to be accepting of who people are in order for them to be able to really keep on being who they are and to thrive. And that's what we're looking to help facilitate as a center. And it really should be what the church is about. You know, the church should be about authenticity all the time. I mean, you always say at the end of our podcast, make sure to tell the truth. Well, we should be telling the truth in the church. And if we're not telling the truth, we need to be really interrogating what's going on with us.
Yeah, I love that you said we are to be who we are, you know, and even in the Bible, God says when Moses asks for God's name, God responds and says, I am, right? The essence of being who you are. And in the church is the one place out of all safe havens is where we should be able to do that. And so I'm so glad that the center is doing this work and helping churches learn how to be truly inclusive, because it surely is a threat that we have to address. It's happening in the world and it's happening inside of the church. And we need to be the first responders to that, right, to making absolutely sure that environment is stable.
And I want to just invite the audience again to visit our website, which I want to also say that Chelsea built our website, and I'm just come so proud about it. It's absolutely fabulous, and it does exactly what I was hoping for the website to do, which is offer a virtual resource to people who come to visit it. And on our homepage, you can find resources designated for Indigenous people, for Latinx people, for Asian people, for African American people, so that you don't have to, they're not all clumped together. And they're all equal, but they're not all clumped together. We want to keep the discreteness. We want to make sure that we're not sending a message of trying to merge everything and make it more easy for us, because that's not the point here. The point is to honor and affirm by saying that all of us are God's children and all of us are created in God's eyesight as equal people. And so we want our website to affirm that that's what we believe. And we're not trying to be kind of a token thing here. We're trying to be as honest and authentic as we possibly can.
Mm-hmm. I agree. And I think, you know, another feature of the site is where we source our resources from. Can you speak a little bit more about how there is a particular missioner that is assigned to these categories to filter through the center and give us this information? So we're not coming up with this. It is actually people that represent their culture, their own culture, giving their resources out about how they want to be treated and responded to. Tell us a little bit about the importance of that.
The presiding bishop has on his staff of a missioner for Asian people, for Latinx, African-American, and Indigenous people, and we have indicated their contact information. That contact information can also be found at the Episcopal Church website. In addition to that, we have set up these blogs for each one of these groups so that then you can find the information, but you can also you can find the information for the missioner, but then you can also find the information that's related to that particular group. And in addition to getting information through the missioners, we also are in contact with Indigenous people, with Latinx people, with Asian people, and with African Americans. And of course, we've got much more information about African Americans because we started, as I said earlier in previous podcasts, we were focused on African American and white people for a good bit of our early years. And so we have a bit of a head start, but we are rapidly catching up with the other groups and using the people who represent each of those cultures so that we're not speaking for them. They get to speak for themselves. And that's the other piece. We need to be willing to let people speak for themselves. And then we need to be respectful of those voices and what they have to say, no matter what they have to say. And mm-hmm. we need to be respectful without trying to edit those voices.
Mm, I love that. We have to be willing to hear what people say, and we have to be respectful not to try to edit those voices. That is powerful. I think also, you know, if I could add to that, we have to be brave. We have to be brave enough to speak and brave enough to listen, because sometimes when we're hearing what other people do or what other people's backgrounds, histories, cultures are, we're very closed off to that. You know, how do we maneuver through this? How do we make sure that even in our own personal lives, we don't fall into the trap of silencing other cultural voices to make our own louder? How do we maneuver through this in our everyday lives?
So that's such a great question. And then your image a few seconds before that of being brave enough to listen, I really want to just stop and think about that for a minute and have the audience really let that sink in, because we always focus on being brave enough to talk, to act. But to think about being brave enough to listen, that's such a fantastic image, Chelsea. You know, to sit and let somebody tell you their truth mm-hmm. without having to edit it, without having to try to make it more palatable for yourself, but to let it be their truth and to sit with it and to hold it does require courage. It also requires self-knowledge. So, and in answer to the rest of the question of how do you manage to do this work and do this kind of brave listening without trying to fix people's stories and make things about you, is that you work on yourself so that other people's lives don't have to be about you. You know, you've worked on your own life. And when you have not worked on your own life, then you have to project and use other people to help you, to help prop you up. So you have to do this inner work, which is why I'm just an evangelist for inner work. You've mm-hmm. got to do the inner work.
I hear that heart work coming out. I hear it. Yeah. I hear it.
The center is about the inner work and the outer work. That's why we have the Barbara Harris Justice Project. The Justice Project is about helping to facilitate the outer work. And then classes, the Dismantling Racism classes, the spiritual formation of the lifetime, developing a lifetime rule for dealing with dismantling racism classes, and all of the other programmatic offerings that the center has help people to do the inner work. And we're constantly talking about the necessity for that. That is how you guard against making other people's lives about you in a way that should not be the case. And so in an effort to be inclusive, we have to get ourselves in a space where we can be brave enough to allow people who are different to occupy a part of our heart. You know, Howard Thurman says the only place you can find refuge is in another person's heart. And oh, wow. But your heart has got to be healed. Your heart's got to be open. Your heart's got to be big enough to take them in.
Wow. Well, thank you for that, especially that quote by Howard Thurman. Love him.
Love him. Yes.
That was powerful. Well, Dr. Meeks, you know, I know that we talk about that inner work, right? The heart work that we have to do to make sure that we are listening bravely and speaking bravely. But what does it look like when we actually do this, when we actually do this heart work? What will our churches look like when we're truly being inclusive? What are some things to look for so that we know we are recognizing and can identify, oh, okay, this is some true inclusivity going on here. This is not a smorgasbord of cultures and, you know, everybody's trying to be the same. No, this is a place that honors and has a high regard for that cultural diversity. How can we make sure that we're identifying that? What are some telltale signs that that's going on?
Well, I think the ways in which people gather around whatever it is you're teaching and whatever it is you're offering, the responses that you get, the accounts of transformation that come back to you can help you to know if you're still following the path you were called to be on. And I think that there's a scripture that says or a song, maybe it's not a scripture, but I do know it's a song, that they'll know you belong to God, that we belong to God by the way we love each other.
Oh yeah, that's definitely true.
So if we exemplify this brave listening that you just talked about a few minutes ago, and this holding people in our hearts, then people will come to the table. People always were coming to Jesus's table. Jesus was always trying to get away from people. And I often tell church leaders, you know, we spend so much time on worrying about church, getting people in the church house. Jesus never had that problem. And because he never had that problem, because he was holding people in his heart and he was so authentic. So people wanted to be around him. And that's how you know. That's how you know, Chelsea. People want to be around you, in your presence, in your classes, in your when you hold up something, when you offer something, people show up. And that's what we're seeing. That's what we're seeing. And I think that's true individually and it's true collectively. And I pray for the day when the whole church has people flocking to it because they're really finding that they can be held refuge. They can find refuge in the hearts of the people that they find in those buildings.
Wow. Dr. Meeks, do you know what you even just said? That was that was great. You know, I think about like in business, how do you tell if a product or service is good? Well, mm-hmm. by the amount of customers, by the amount of sales, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. And so, mm-hmm. and if you have no sales, it means that nobody wants your product. Something is wrong with it, right? Something is wrong with it. But likewise, if you can sell one thing, it shows that you do have potential. So our churches and even if we have one person that's coming around us, it shows that we do have the potential. But when we start to see masses start to flood and connect and want to be involved in our churches and want to participate and want to go out and do more work beyond the church, that's how we know we're being truly inclusive, and that's how we know we're being effective and living in, like Bishop Curry would say, like in the way of love. And so I love what you just said, and I think that's a fantastic golden nugget that we should keep in our pockets and ask ourselves on a daily, am I being effective? Do people, like you said, do people want to come around me? Do people want to talk to me? That's valuable. That's valuable. Well, Dr. Meeks, thank you so much for enlightening me us about the truth about inclusivity and how we are, how what the center is doing to make sure that we're keeping that high regard for cultural distinctiveness, as well as what we can do as individuals and what we can do as a church. And so I appreciate that so much. Do you have any last words before we wrap it up?
No, I think as our audience joins us for these for this podcast and the one that the previous ones that we've done, they'll be getting to the end of the year. And I just would like to ask everybody to wear a mask and do social distancing and wash your hands and stay safe and do everything you can to contribute to helping to end the pandemic of COVID. And then to keep your heart open to help reduce the pandemic of racism.
Amen. I agree. Thank you so much, Dr. Meeks. And thank you all for listening. If you would like to stay connected with us, and we hope you do, please connect with us on the Center for Racial Healing on Instagram and Facebook. Also, you can connect with Dr. Meeks on her personal page, Dr. Catherine Meeks. Lastly, please visit our website at centerforracialhealing.org. There you can check out our virtual library that really mirrors our conversation on inclusivity, and you can see what the center is doing about it. And it serves as a resource for cultural education. So definitely go and check that out. Stay tuned for more events and updates and our next episode. And until next time, remember to always tell the truth.